Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for our meditation this evening is recorded in the Revelation of St. John, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 6th verse. Let us rise for the reading. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." These are God's words. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Sanctify us through your truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus, you remember, I'm sure, that we are revisiting during this Lenten season, the names used for Jesus. Some of them, quite a few of them. For many reasons, these names might have little meaning for us. It may be that, they're just too familiar. They've just become mere jargon. Or it may be that we haven't actually thought about them very much. Or it might also be that when we learned about them in the first place, they weren't particularly explained to us, and we've just been using them over and over, somewhat thoughtlessly. Sometimes the way people deal with the liturgy, they know it by rote, but not by meaning. And so what a better way to take advantage of these evenings where we pause, we step aside from the busy world, and we reflect. What a wonderful way to take advantage of the devotional character of the Lenten season by reflecting upon our Savior's names, names of wondrous love, savoring their depth and basking in the light that they shine upon our Savior. From our text and from our hymns and from the illustrations in the bulletin, I'm sure you can tell that the name we focus on this evening is the Lamb, Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the world's sins. Now, ordinarily, lambs are the absolute definition of cuteness. We used to have a bunch every year, and it was fun. You can't watch little lambs gambolling and cavorting without thinking they're anything but cute and fun and cuddly. And even city kids have a little lamb maybe that is all stuffed and they take to bed with them. Yeah, the definition of cuteness. That's not the comparison with Jesus and his being called the Lamb. He's not called the Lamb because he's cute. He's called the Lamb because, like millions of lambs over the centuries, he was taken out of the flock and slain, slaughtered, killed, in order to be offered as a sacrifice to the true and living God. And between the four, our text says, between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain. Presumably, he knew it was slain because there was blood from the knife's deadly blow, or maybe a gash from the mortal stroke. It was a sight I used to see every fall on the farm. And it was a tough business. It was a sight that John's readers would have been familiar with, too. It harkened back more than 1,000 years of imagery. The lamb was used as a picture in a number of ways. There was the lamb that had the sins of the people ceremonially placed upon it, and then it was driven into the wilderness, never to be found again, as a symbol that God's forgiveness does away utterly with our sins. You could say, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, never to be found again. It harkened back more pointedly, more especially, to the Passover lamb. Perfect, unspotted, unspoiled, uninjured, and then slain, so that its blood would wet the doorposts and the lintels of the houses of the Israelites in Egypt, so that the angel of the Lord would pass over that house and not visit death upon it. And then it harkened back to the countless lambs slain in the hundreds and hundreds of years to follow, in which the Passover was celebrated. It harkened back to just a little while before, when John the Apostle's teacher, John the Baptizer, declared on Jesus' baptism day, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." A lot of dead animals. But this slain lamb was standing. He was standing strong and alive. He was standing at the very throne of heaven itself. He was the Lamb victorious. And that's become a somewhat favorite symbol in the church. And maybe you've seen it like this, and in a lot of different variations of the same thing. The Lamb carrying the banner, carrying the cross, carrying the scepter of victory. Or perhaps you've seen it in which we're reminded that the Lamb shed his blood for the redemption of the world, and that this is the very blood that is shared with us as he is present with his body and blood in the sacrament together with the bread and wine. What John was seeing was symbolic, of course. I don't think I could draw the picture that he gives us using words here. I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with 7 horns and with 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. If you were to illustrate it, we wouldn't draw a picture of a monster. The 7 horns stood for power and for authority. And the eyes stood for wisdom. What John saw there in this picture was, as it were, the moment of Christ's ascension, when he ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God, from which he rules and governs all things. What he sees here is the coronation of the Lamb who was slain. The one who is now, and this is, boy, there's a lot of meaning in this word, Lamb of God. Because in this picture, it shows him as the central figure of both earthly history and eternal life, before whom every knee would bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. He's given a scroll, remember that? And the scroll on which is written the history of the world was given to him. And it's his alone to open. It's his alone to know. His servants are around him. The four living creatures represent everything from the four corners of the earth that accomplish his providence. The 24 elders are representative of all the believers of the Old Testament and the New. What a picture. Now let me ask you this. What were they praising him for? Or looking at it another way, if you were to pick one image to represent Christianity to the world, what would it be? Because that is what these who praised him were singing about. Our motto as a congregation is sharing the joy. What is the heart of that joy? How would you speak of that joy? What is it about? As all the nations fall on their knees before this greatest man who ever lived, for he is true man as well as true God, what will be the reason for their praise? What is the central fact, not just in the history of the world, but of the universe? I'll keep you in suspense a little longer, although if you read the text, you already know. Could it have been history? The way he has governed the affairs of the earth? History, after all, is his story. The so-called accidents of history are no accidents. But in his hand, the providence of God, so that all things work together for good to those who love him, so that the message that we're going to talk about in a second would go out into all the world. Or is it perhaps the spread of mankind around the world, the rise and fall of nations? They're in his hands too. Is it that for which we praise him? Well, let's listen. They sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals." Or another way to put that, worthy are you to take up the world itself. All the history that shall follow ever after is yours. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. He's honored eternally in heaven and on earth because he ransomed us. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood in his innocent suffering and death. That is the central fact of human history. That is the central fact of the universe, that Jesus is the Lamb who was slain to redeem us. Hence this picture that you also found in your worship folder. You notice something interesting about the stain. It's not just a random shape, but a map of the world. Because this is the Lamb that was slain, not just for some, but for the world, for every tribe and language and people and nation. This is the universality of Christianity. Because Jesus didn't die just for some Middle Eastern tribe, but for all tribes and languages and peoples and nations. So when we speak of Jesus, the Lamb of God, we think of the Lamb that was slain. But he's standing. It's as though he was slain, but now he lives. The Lamb of God is the Lamb enthroned. And all his gifts are given to us. He took up that scroll, and his representatives, those four creatures, carried out his will in all the earth so that his gifts might be given to you. The forgiveness of all of your sins. the assurance of life everlasting. So that as we're going to look at a literal picture of this same event, as Paul writes it in Ephesians 1, so that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Behold, the Lamb of God slain for us, who has taken away the sins of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who lives. Yet another wondrous name of the wondrous love of Jesus. Behold the Lamb. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.